Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Eileen Marty is the director of the FIU Health Travel Medicine Program and Vaccine Clinic Commander. Good morning, Dr. Marty. We have good news. We're reporting the city of Chicago hit a major coronavirus milestone, and we have the lowest number of new cases and positivity rate since the start of the pandemic. So are we reaching herd immunity, even though more people than experts like you thought are not getting the vaccine? What's our situation around the country?
No, we have not reached herd immunity, but this is not a fixed thing. It's a slope, right? And so as more people get vaccinated, and we're doing a phenomenal job of vaccinating our population, the risk goes down, period. Although, clearly, the risk goes down much better for people who are vaccinated, especially fully vaccinated, than people who are not. And it's really important to look at the really interesting data that 75% of people over 65 and over are fully vaccinated in the United States. And that's the population that was hardest hit initially. So having that population with that high a vaccination rate has really made a huge impact for the United States.
Do you have any idea yet about the booster, when we'll need it, how often we'll have to get it, and will it have to be from the same company that gave us the initial shots?
So those are really interesting questions, Bob, but you have to consider several things. Number one is there's some data now that's come out indicating that we continue to have good memory cells in our bones, whether or not we had a natural infection or whether we had the vaccine, although the quality of the protection tends to be better if you had a vaccine because it's more focused on attacking those neutralization sites, the receptor binding domain. And so that's good news, which would suggest that you might not need a booster. However, on the flip side, we're dealing with a lot of variants. And the percent of variants that we're seeing in the United States keeps going up. B.1.1.7 has literally taken over as the dominant variant in the United States. Here in South Florida, it accounts for more than 75% of cases. We're also seeing a rise in the, by the way, I'm using the old terminology. The B.1.1.7, according to WHO, is now called the alpha variant.
Yeah, I wish you'd stop using that old terminology. It really aggravates me when you do that.
I'm sorry. the gamma variant, okay, which is the P1 from Brazil, right? That one's going up at an alarming a percentage, and that one's really bad because it's one of those that is even more likely to break through existing protections. And then we have the this new variant that we're seeing from India, which is that B.1.6.7.2, which in a study that I just reviewed with colleagues in the UK is overcoming the protection that some people have from their vaccine and is spreading more rapidly than the original variant, that B.1.1.7 UK alpha variant, whatever you want to call it, right? And so it's serious. And if you look at the Seychelles right now, which was highly vaccinated, they're still having a big outbreak. But you have to understand the vaccines they used mainly in the Seychelles were the ones that were actually recently approved by WHO, which are those inactivated vaccines from China. They've recently approved both Sinopharm last month and Sinovac a couple of days ago, which just don't have the same efficacy ratio. And if you go through the data that the WHO SAGE presented, they're very inexpensive, easy to produce, easy to distribute vaccines, but even SAGE says, for example, for when they look at the evidence, they have very low confidence in the quality of evidence that the risk of serious adverse events or comorbidities is good for these vaccines, and specifically for the Sinopharm vaccine, and they still approved it. And if you look at their data from the Sinovac, they also, say that they have low confidence in the quality of the evidence about serious adverse effects. And in terms of efficacy, they see the efficacy pretty well in the 18 to 59 year group, where it's about 70% efficacious, but that drops dramatically in people over 60 and over. So these are not the ideal vaccines. They meet minimum standards. And if you're using vaccines that meet minimum standards and you're using them out of desperation because they're available and they can easily be distributed, et cetera, you have this real possibility that the virus can still spread and still form new variants of concern.
You know what's scary? I'm reading about this ESPN guy, Kirk Herbstreit, who says he still can't taste or smell, and this is 5 months after his COVID-19 diagnosis. Is that common?
It's actually not uncommon to have continued symptoms. In fact, I was dealing with a patient last couple of days who had her very serious bout of COVID. We managed to keep her out of the hospital, but she was on the edge, right? And she continues. She's regained most of her taste and smell, but not completely, and it's not quite the same as it was before. She also has the tinnitus, the hair loss, the fatigue, and these are things that we're seeing in a very significant portion of people who've recovered from COVID, even people who had mild versions. In fact, we've even found individuals who had no original symptoms when they were initially infected, but have, post-infectious types of syndromes.
Do we really need all of this to do about touchless this and touchless that? I thought it's been determined the virus doesn't really spread that way. What about all that? I mean, because you've said that it probably can't be spread or very rarely from a surface.
Well, I've never said it can't be. It can be. It absolutely can be spread from a surface. It's always a matter of, what is that? How contaminated is that surface? What exactly you touch it with, and how soon after you touched it you put you touch your face, you touch your mouth, your nose, your eyes. Those are the factors that would allow that to happen. So if you're conscious and aware that a surface could be contaminated because you just saw a person sneeze on that surface, obviously you'd be pretty silly to put your hand on a recently sneezed on surface, right, or coughed on surface. Yeah, the virus will die over time on a surface, and that's always a good thing. But it's not an impossible way. Don't think like that. It is still a way in which many viruses are transmitted.
All right, then I'm going to wait before I shake your hand or hug you, still for a few more months. But I'll wait till winter since you're in Florida. I'll come down there and do it then. Dr. Eileen Marty, thanks as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. Take care.